Hey, everybody. I'm wearing my 49ers hat, even though today's episode, my friend no longer coaches there. Sure, he's with the Chargers, but I can still love the 49ers. We're taping the special next week. I'm very excited. For those of you who have tickets, I'm very excited for the show. But then in July, I'm back on the road, writing a whole new hour, building it up. I'm very excited to do that. That's one of the fun parts of doing stand-up is just trying new stuff and hoping that it works. So check me out. I'm going to be at the Comedy Vault in Batavia, Illinois, July 9th through the 11th. New York Comedy Club in Stamford, Connecticut, July 16th through the 18th. And then in Montreal, I'm doing Club Soda on July 25th. All these tickets are available at dansoder.com. And then the full list of clubs for the rest of the year is on this poster. Go to @dansoder on Instagram or go to dansoder.com and see where we're going. But I mean, we're talking about everywhere. Albany, Baltimore, Spokane, Portland, Hartford, Connecticut, all the big dogs. I'm very excited. I'm going to be in Calgary, in Winnipeg, all these places coming to run and build a new hour. DanSoder.com for all those tickets. Thank you for watching the podcast. And now here are two friends from seventh grade as adults. Now let's start. First off, I love the fact the mob glasses. Yes, dude. You always is this from last night? Is this from the green room?
Yeah.
Finders keepers, bro.
You grabbed the Cheez-Its from the green room.
It was from your specific
from my dressing room.
And I waited the allotted time, 60%
of the show.
To make sure that I wasn't going to, because I was like super self-conscious about messing with people's routines.
What? Oh, with like the axe?
Yeah, man. What? Business, bro.
That's so funny you took this from the dressing room, because there's certain things that like just don't leave you in adulthood.
I was going to eat it last night, but I fumbled one from the other
backstage.
Bag.
I know what you're talking about.
Because I double bagged.
Because you were too bagged up.
I had one out, and I was like fully going to go back to back, and I fumbled one.
You dropped the Cheez-It.
Yeah.
But that's not the sin. The sin was created on my part because I accidentally stepped on it. And then you can't just pick up the Cheez-It because now the Cheez-It
is
1,000 pieces.
I don't want to place blame on you in that regard because specifically I don't want to positively reinforce staring at the ground. That doesn't help you socially.
Dude.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've been trying to tell people about...
You're always fighting the towers as it is.
Yeah. You're one of the only people that... Obviously, we've known each other since you moved to Aurora in seventh grade. But how much I used to apologize to my mom for making jokes. For, like, making jokes.
Right. Like, no. And it was all...
Like, I'd be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize. No. You and our friend Byron.
Yeah, but we got to, like... It's kind of weird as I reflect, but we were psychoanalyzing ourselves then.
I think that's...
And then in college.
Yeah.
And then in our 30s, the entire time. And it was very interesting because we caught it early enough where you would laugh at yourself and would try to... It was like a tick. Like, I'd fight the urge. You'd be like, I apologize. Oh, dang it.
There was one time you were spending the night at my house, and it was like literally shock therapy because I was like, I don't do that. And then like every time I was making a joke, I was like, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah.
I am sorry. That's what I always think was funny is I landed in LA on Sunday, and the first time since 98, 97, we rode bikes.
Yeah, you know, probably
it was like since
probably pre Britney Spears.
Yes,
right.
I think we could call it the Britney Spears effect.
Yeah,
I think her coming out on the scene.
Yep,
we were done riding bikes and just straight jacking it. We had gone from.
You know,
do you remember the game we used to play where we would take a tennis ball and throw it at cars driving by, and then we would try to act
allegedly,
stopping it with our hands.
It's weird how there's like everybody has their things that they could identify that'd be like, wow, I would hate meeting myself. And it's not a long list, but like that's one, like
a couple things. Number one,
suburban tennis ball throwing and just driving,
dude, if I was, I'm telling you right now, if I was in a nice Nissan Altima driving to I'm driving to Albertsons, yeah, right? I'm driving to the grocery store,
yeah,
and I'm driving by where you used to live,
yeah,
and my shit gets hit with a tennis ball, I'm over that fence and I'm trying to fight those,
yeah,
kids. Do you remember when we got chased?
You know what though, maybe we're looking at it all wrong. Maybe we should interpret tennis balls hitting cars.
Mm-hmm.
Cars should say, you know what? That's a cry for help because these kids have no supervision,
do not have that control of my anger of a tennis ball hitting my car and me being like, donk. Hey, those kids are going through something.
Dude. No, but realistically,
I would have tried to get over that.
Why did we do that? Because we were spending 24 I mean, all waking hours, like doing our own thing.
Yeah.
I think sooner than I would be comfortable allowing my daughter to do.
Oh, 100%. Now that you're a parent, you're like, there's no way I would allow her at 13 years old to go to Albertsons and turn off the automatic doors like you and I used to
do. No, just like go.
Oh, yeah. Go leave. Just leave go. The house.
Like we would leave all the things we would. I mean,
we would like. In middle school, like summers in middle school, we would go from like spending the night at my house and then we'd just ride our bikes to like someone else's house and hang out all day.
It was a situation where if we were more attractive, we would be trafficked.
Yes. God, if we were sexy, we would have been snatched up. But dude, talking about hating ourselves, if I were at a grocery store and a kid turned off the automatic door like we used to do, because that was our...
I'm so proud of that.
Me too. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Do you remember? So we used
to... No, because... It was so bold, too, because...
Have I told you this story?
Yeah, but you were tall enough, though. You were like...
I was lanky.
You were a tall kid then.
Yeah.
So it was also like a beyond our reach of things that you could do.
Well, we found out through another kid that it... I don't know if this is still how it is. You can't quote me on this.
Yeah, we don't know where the technology's at.
It's obviously advanced. We're talking about late 90s. You could... There was a switch, like a...
Manual. Like
a manual switch on the top right of an electronic... Of like the automatic doors.
Yeah, like one of those old metal ones that's like on a...
Exactly. And like you could flip it in any direction.
Yeah, but it's a hard flip if you get it going... stuck.
So you'd flip it southwest. You'd knock it down southwest. And what it would do is it would open the automatic door and then it would shut it. But then the sensor didn't work. So then what we would do is we would lock the automatic door and then we'd go
then we would watch.
We would just sit there and watch people. You have no idea the faith that people have in automatic doors.
Yeah.
They... Just assume it's going to open. Dude,
but it's always interesting. It's like way different vibes on once they get their bearings. Because, it's like what just happened.
Yes, it's the confusion
right
at first.
And then, all right, am I going to double down? Am I going to lose my mind and get pissed? Am I going to yell, automatically breathe out, manager, like Karen?
I bet now.
Yeah.
I bet right now there's way more Karen energy of how could you let this happen? Back in the day, motherfuckers were taking their bumps and then just either manually opening it and getting their grocery, because the grocery cart, it's all about the grocery cart would hit the door and then it would hit them.
Yeah.
The one that I felt bad about, that I distinctly remember, there was like, I want to say a 3 or 4 year old kid in the cart. And the cart hit and the kid just went down.
But
if that happened to you,
those are the risks you take when you're playing that game, know? It wasn't for the lighthearted.
Yeah.
There were risks. Parents could be called.
Yeah. Parents could be called.
It was,
we got called.
We were good at not getting captured.
Yeah.
By known
my mom and your mom had no idea the dirt we were doing.
Nah.
They did not know we were going to Albertsons playing kickball. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And then one time we kicked the ball because we'd go into the middle of the aisle and yeah. play kickball. We'd like roll, you know, those like,
yeah.
you know, those big things that are filled yeah. with bouncy balls.
Yes.
We'd grab a couple and we would play kickball. And then a couple times you launch it and it'd go up into the sign. Do you remember that when the sign yeah. came out? The sign for the aisles went like, yeah. shit, shit. And we just ran. But, and I think this is why we both ended up drinking and having to quit. That rush of like breaking
also,
the sign and being like,
and also,
go, 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 go.
And also, we were just habitual line steppers, but we kind of looked at it like this. We're not stealing anything.
Exactly. The bad kids steal like, stuff. We're playing so an like, instant game of kickball I in mean, your grocery store. Sure, we're locking your doors.
There's like, so like, you know, like, I mean, you're welcome, parents and people within yeah. the store.
We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun in that Albertsons, which is now like
but
a
Walmart.
But
maybe people didn't mess. Like, maybe they gave us some grace because we really pressed their patience. Maybe they gave us grace because they're like, you know what? That a boy, kids.
Yeah.
Way to overcome those.
Yeah. Stand up to society.
Yeah. Just because your fathers don't love you doesn't mean the world won't.
Yeah, but we would do fun stuff. We wouldn't do bad stuff. We would do prank phone calls and like,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
that's what's always funny is because I see a lot of the guys that we used to hang out with in middle school that would do the bad stuff, yeah. and then they're just like dudes now.
No, we played this to the same like we were playing the same game the entire time from the onset where it was like no. The game is. Not to get in trouble.
Exactly.
Now, how far can we push? How crazy can we get within the rule? It was non-negotiable. Our fear was driving us. Like, we weren't getting in trouble.
We weren't getting in trouble because we were afraid to get in trouble.
Yeah, and we were quick enough.
And we did not want to get in trouble.
We scouted the mid-40s.
A lot of those guys we were friends with weren't scared to get in trouble. So yeah. they would do crazy shit.
Yeah.
We were like, we're not getting caught. And then... Do you remember when you blew yourself up in eighth grade because I got cheated on by my girlfriend and you left that voicemail? I always tell people that was the moment where I was like, Mike is ride or die. Yeah, always have been. But eighth grade, in between eighth grade and freshman year,
mm-hmm.
you were chilling at my house and you were like, I found out some information from a girl that we went to school with that the girl I was...
Yeah, you know, I...
Lauren was like, yo, she was like, hey, Dan's girlfriend cheated on him twice.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and that was our first experience.
Dude, that was crazy.
In the heartbreak.
Yeah.
Because we got
better with women, but in middle school, we were goofy.
No.
So girls liked us, but they didn't like.
We weren't ready to have girlfriends.
Yeah, we were
you
children.
Weren't ready to have a girlfriend.
I'm still playing with
that,
action figures.
Like, publicly was dealing, you know, like, I had to interject.
And I know kids now grow up fast, but we were in eighth grade, ninth grade, and we found out that there had been some fingering going on, which is huge. That's huge. That is adult version of sex. It's like that's eighth grade version of like.
I can't confirm nor deny anything above diddling.
That's it. But
I don't know.
She got diddled. We found out. I'm heartbroken. Mike, ride or die moment, calls the girl I was dating's house. This is during the day. It's summer in between eighth grade and freshman year.
This is not my style.
This is not his style. What? This is what I'm saying.
Which I think was the point.
Yeah. He set himself on fire because we were all about...
I think I was distracting you. I think I tried to do something crazy enough that you'd be like, dude, it's okay.
I'll worry about you now. And I'm not going to give names out. I would never dox anybody. But he called the girl I was dating. We'll call her T. And he was like, it was answering machines.
Last name Rex.
T-Rex. Yeah. Tiny arms.
Yeah.
Thick legs.
Yeah.
Thick ass.
Terrible at volleyball. No range.
Terrible. pure carnivore. Only loved meat.
Terrible to have small toy poodles around.
Because
she would eat them.
So he, this is like, and I understand we have young listeners. The answering machine was a big deal. Because the answering machine was, the whole family heard it. If you got home and someone had missed a call, no matter your place in the family, you could listen to the answering machine. It wasn't your personal voice messages. It wasn't a text. It wasn't a thing that went just to you. This motherfucker.
Speaker mode.
Calls. I was standing next to him while I did it. Calls this girl's house.
Perm speaker
mode. Dude, and you go, hi, you don't know me, but your daughter, blank, isn't supposed to have a boyfriend. Her parents were very Catholic.
That was part of the, yep.
And he's like,
that was calculated.
He went, not only does she have a boyfriend, but she cheated on her boyfriend with two other boys who put their fingers in her vagina. That was the thing that he stressed. And again, we're eighth grade boys at this point. But he goes, dude, I remember you being on my AT&T cordless, gray cordless, going, fingers in her vagina. And honestly, it helped. Yeah. It made me feel so good. He threw such a nuke on that answering machine. But by the way, this is how fucking foolish I was.
Yeah.
That happened, and we just went and rode bikes. We just went and rode bikes. I think we rode up to your house. Might have gotten a Jolt Cola or two and ridden to your house. Dude, I came home.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, what the fuck did you do? My mom went nuclear on me. And my mom could blow up. What's up, Trish? I know you're watching. she was like, what the fuck did you and Mike do? You called Redacted's house. She was like, Mr. Redacted called me today when
Which
I got home.
We should have known it, there's something fishy with a name like Redacted.
Like Redacted. I was preparing to get married, and I go, Mr. Redacted. That sounds good. I'll take her name.
The vision on your vision board.
I mean, I'm putting on a fucking veil. I'm Mr. Redacted. But dude, my mom was like, "What the fuck? He star-6-7'd it, or star-6-9'd it." Got our number.
Ooh.
She's like, he blocked our phone number. I was grounded for the rest of the summer. I was in deep trouble. And she's like, and I just called Mike and got off the phone with Donna. And he's in trouble too. Did you get in trouble?
Nah.
Damn. I knew it. I was like, nah, dude, Donna's going to see why he did it and respect it.
Yeah, but it was like,
damn, my mom, really. I knew I was the only one that got
in
trouble.
But it was like, because I was motivated to do
things. I got cheated on and grounded?
No, but I was, just because I was motivated at, taking my world to new heights.
Yeah.
I went to, it was like.
Yo, you brought the fight.
But it was like for us.
Yeah.
And I figured it's cost of doing business.
Listen, dude. And like, honestly, I did those, I did those 2 months of being grounded on my head. I did a nickel for the cause. I did my dime and I got the fuck out.
No, and it made my life more inconvenient.
Yeah.
I think we started like violating the grounding, like once you got a good weekend.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I think I got a reduced sentence.
Yeah.
After a little bit, because I think behavior. My mom understood. My mom's great with empathy, and I think she understood I was very sad about what happened, and that you were a good friend, and she was like, all right, I think I can knock off.
No, she was like, I need to socialize this boy.
She caught me prank phone calling a lot. Yeah. She was honestly really cool about it. And I think I probably would have been a lot harsher.
No, she was cool about it because that. Now I remember this. And Trish, this is cool because like, I do remember vividly.
Hey, if you are worried, physically about something, an ailment, perhaps something that hurts on your body, you don't have to just sit there and go like, well, I guess this is just how my knee is. No, download ZocDoc. It's a free app, and it's a website that helps you find and book high-quality in-network doctors you can find, and you can find a doctor you love. So if you have a knee problem, boom, We're talking about in-network appointments with more than 150,000 providers across all 50 states. You'll find a guy that can work on your knee. More importantly, you can find a guy that work on your knee that you like, or a lady that can work on your knee. Doesn't matter. Whether you're looking for dermatology, dentistry, primary care, eye care, or one of the 200-plus specialties offered on ZocDoc, you can easily search by specialty or symptom to build the care team that's right for you. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/Soder to find and instantly book a doctor that is near you and that you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/Soder. ZocDoc.com/Soder. Thanks, ZocDoc, for sponsoring this message. Oh, it's Mack Weldon time, baby. Mack Weldon clothes. You know what? It's summer, so you need some stuff that's breathable, but also that looks good. Mack Weldon's clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They got crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. They got shorts for the hot months. They got everything. If you're lucky enough to grab them while they're still in stock, I'm just saying, you can go find something that's nice, that's also comfortable, that doesn't set you back a ton. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. For over 10 years, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Get moving with Mack Weldon. Comfortable anywhere. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code DAN. Damn, they went first name on me. That's how you know we're familiar. That's MackWeldon.com. Code DAN.
DAN. Now, I remember this. And Trish, this is cool because, like, I do remember vividly there being times that you would, like, you'd be all rambunctious and you would toe the line with your mom, which was rare.
Yeah.
But it's because you could feel that, like, you were on a comedic rhythm at the time. Yeah. And if it was funny enough,
she let it go.
So, but it was like, it was cool because, like, if it wasn't funny enough,
I was in trouble.
Oh, you were.
I swear to God, that's 100%.
You apologize.
Yeah, dude. I
apologize.
I
apologize.
You don't understand. That's how him and Byron, my two best friends, would make fun of me. All 7th, 8th grade. I apologize.
Yeah. Dude. Danny didn't finish your milk like something
weird.
I mean.
Something weird like that. Honestly.
But she wouldn't necessarily be. She'd just be like very assertive, but she wouldn't be like, you have to drink the milk,
yeah,
or something happens, you would prematurely rush to the I apologize. Yeah. We couldn't even find out where it was going, you know?
Yes.
Right?
I would 100% lead with an apology, not knowing what I did. Dude, when I started going to therapy, my therapist was like, can I watch your stand-up? And I did a Comedy Central half hour, and I had it on a DVD, and I gave it to him, and he watched it. And then the next therapy session I go in, and he goes, why do you apologize before all your jokes? And I was like, shut the fuck up. And he's like, you apologize before you make jokes.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't understand. Dude. 7th and 8th grade, my friends would always go, I apologize. That was like the impression. And he goes, you still do it. No. It was like crazy to see that, and it was in my late 20s.
But the early 30s. The coolest thing in the world is like figuring new stuff out about yourself.
Yeah.
And like, and then being able to recognize it and not overcooking it, minimizing it, but then laughing at yourself when you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Those are three apologies.
Yeah.
In 30 seconds. Middle school dudes are calling me out.
Yeah.
Adjust my behavior.
Adjust it. Adjust and then readjust. I mean, I think that's like, that's what's been crazy about watching you through your career make the proper adjustments.
You've been watching me?
From afar. I bugged you.
Oh.
I put a bug on you at a slumber party in 8th grade. I was like, I have you tracked like a bison.
No, that's better than I was in your house.
Yeah. I was in your house.
Unannounced and.
Oh, dude. Remember sneaking out of your house?
We
used to get so good. Sorry, Donna, if you're watching. We used to get so good at sneaking out of your house.
Again.
Not getting caught.
We would
leave for the whole night.
Yeah. But we applied our ambition, our thirst for life.
Yeah.
And like, we're like, hey, listen, we can't be successful like you know, starting a little a money-making business or really doing anything productive. But we can scheme our way into doing things that we shouldn't do, that we'd get in trouble for, but we won't get caught for.
Scheming, dude. Yeah. We're all about, middle school's all about scheming. It's all about what schemes can you get away with? And it was great. I was all about schemes, dude.
Dude, well, it's kind of, as you reflect on it, what weirdos we are in middle school. Like, yeah. Dude, just be above board. Keep it real.
Just keep it real.
Yeah.
And you're going to be fine. But we would like, dude, we'd wait for your mom and stepdad to go to sleep, and we'd sneak out and then just be outside. Yeah. We'd just be out there. No way to contact. By the way, if something happened to us, it would have looked like we were just straight up abducted.
We spent a lot of time in the pathways on the way to Indian or right by Indian Ridge elementary school, but on the pathway
by Laredo
and Smoky Hill.
Yeah.
We were in the cuts in Mission Viejo.
Yeah.
Dipping and dodging.
So what's funny is last night at Shane's show at the Hollywood Bowl.
Which was so wild, man. Like,
it was
you're at such a good place.
Oh, thanks.
But you know what's funny? Being on the show, like, I could, in one hand, say I couldn't. Can you believe this? And the whole time, I'm like, dude, I'm Nostradamus. I saw this coming because it's like pretty simple formula.
Yeah.
Passion and talent and just intentionality that over time.
Yeah. Which I think is a thing that you and I share exactly the same thing, which is what's funny is, last night was the first night I had met Christian McCaffrey in person, right?
Yeah.
Like social media or whatever. And he's good friends with Shane.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a 49er fan.
You know, you're like, he's more attractive in person.
I go, well, hello. I actually put my glasses down and I went, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there are transition lenses. You just came in. So it was like,
he's a Colorado legend. But what's crazy is, his brother, you work with his brother.
Mm-hmm. McCaffrey.
Max McCaffrey. You've known the McCaffreys since you were a ball boy.
Yes.
I mean, since we were 13.
Yeah.
13 to 16. Yeah, you were there the 90, were you there, 96 through 99?
Yeah. Shout out.
Post Super Bowl?
Shout out post Avalanche and Coors Field Denver.
Yes.
Time period.
You were post.
You know, right in that little pocket.
Coors Field's brand new.
We were smart enough kids that we knew Y2K was fraudulent. Like, what are we talking about?
Absolutely. I remember we were both at the same pocket. New Year's Eve party in 1999. We're at Anne Marie. Might have to block that.
Yeah.
But that was in Piney Creek, and we were all at the same party, and everyone was like, we all knew Y2K wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember exactly where we were, and I was like out back smoking a cigarette.
Ooh,
like,
okay. Mad Dog 2020s.
A lot of it. I'll see your Mad Dog 2020, and I'll raise you drinking puckers with Dennis. You guys used to drink
No, because that was at the age that it was like...
You needed a sweetened alcohol.
And just to have alcohol superseded whether or not that was a legit drink for a dude to have.
Yes.
It was like...
If it had booze in it, no one gave a shit. You're like, damn, you're drinking alcohol. It was probably a sign of things to come that I enjoyed whiskey at 16. I was like, this is pretty rad. What's this?
No, we'd keel over and think it was like devil's blood.
Yeah.
You're like, arr.
I remember Jägermeister. I got really into Jägermeister. But what was crazy was meeting Christian, we talked about so much Colorado high school football stuff.
Yeah.
That was crazy. And he was like, where did you and Mike go to middle school? And I was like, Laredo. And he's like, all my friends went to Laredo. And you're like, that was a very fun middle school. Because it was like all these neighborhoods around, all these different kids that went to that middle school. And no. It's like fun to be like, dude, that's crazy. We were there 20 years before Christmas.
No, it was...
Well, you didn't go there, but...
Well, because it was right on the line of like a 20-year distinction of suburban sprawl.
Yes.
So then it was like super modest, middle class.
Yeah, shout
and
out.
Then,
shout out Mission Viejo.
And then like Mumsies.
Yeah.
And or just some...
Or a gated community, Shenandoah. You were like right by where there was like a gated community where you're like, oh, you have to talk to a guy to go to your house versus like my house, which was just in the, it was just out there.
Yeah. And these people in these homes that they go to country clubs. You're like,
yeah, that was fucking wild.
And that's, but it was such a unique melting pot. That's what was, you know, there was a lot of...
We knew kids that were poor, and then there was like Denver Broncos players that lived not that, like Neil Smith.
Right.
Remember how close he lived to you?
Yeah. You know what it does? That's a formula to have a lot of white people listen to rap.
Yes. Who now probably don't. Who now are grown up and don't. It was like, but also, I also think you're looking at the late 90s where I think hip hop and rap was in the suburbs like everywhere. Because of the MTV.
Yes.
Because of how music got places.
Yeah.
People were getting like, it doesn't happen like that now. Now it's pockets. You have like people that like shit and sometimes it'll cross over.
Uh-huh.
There it was like, if we're at the Taco Bell parking lot waiting to find out where a party is, people are listening to similar music.
Why didn't we get arrested at Taco
Bell? That is loitering.
And it was for long periods of time.
But what's crazy is, and you're in East Coast, you're Queens. When you were in high school, did you go to just parking lots and wait to find out where parties is? Yeah. That's everywhere.
Yeah.
Because like Katie did it in Massachusetts. And it's like, we were doing it in Aurora. You're just like sitting there being like, who's got the house party?
That only happens with a ratio. That's white privilege screaming.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, why?
Just a bunch of white kids.
We're
not nervous.
And at all.
At all.
Just a little too comfortable.
Well, then what? I mean, thanks to my mom, my senior year, pretty much, we could just go to my house if we needed it to. Do you remember when Joey Owens threw up in the back of your Mustang?
Yes, I did not like that.
So Mike got a sweet car.
Oh, I think I lost it, didn't I?
Yeah. It was, by the way, in front of my house. It was in front of my house.
Ooh,
so we used to
embarrassing overreaction there.
So we used to, by the way, I know Owens is watching this because I still text him all the time and I know he's loving it. Our buddy Joey used to go nuts. I remember exactly what hoodie he was wearing. He was wearing a black Mark Echo with the red rhino on it.
Yeah.
And he was in the backseat. You had a two-seat Mustang. You had a 1999 two-door, four-seat.
Yeah, come on.
Sorry.
He didn't acknowledge the back seats because he was... all knees at that point.
I couldn't do it. I could not get that back seat. But I remember. Yeah.
And he has. You have terrible flexibility in your hips.
Guess who's been stretching his hips for about 20 years every morning.
Really,
dude? I genuinely.
Do you have a song?
I go, here go my hips. No, I don't. I'm stretching my hips. Ooh, but I've legitimately started stretching my hips.
It's important, bro.
Yeah, dude, I need to. I'm long and lanky. But we always used to chill in my garage and smoke weed, cigarettes, drink, or whatever. My mom was fine with it as long as we weren't drinking or she wasn't there.
I didn't really smoke cigarettes ever.
Ever. That was my job.
No. I'm saying, really.
You didn't. You hated it.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
I get headaches.
When I was in seventh grade I tried it, you were like, dude, I'm good. You tried it like once and you're like, fuck this. And I tried it once and I was like, this is my whole personality. I was just always have packs of cigarettes. Hey, small business owners. If you're not using Square, what are you doing? Listen, if you have a small business and you don't have a big corporate overlord helping you out, you know, those are the only reasons to be associated with a corporate overlord is to get the tools that you would need to run a small business. But Square, it's perfect for small businesses. It's behind the scenes of so many businesses you already love. Square gives them one connected system to take payments, manage inventory, run payroll, send invoices, and track it all from one place. place. This isn't just a point of sale. Square includes hardware that works in person and on the go, software for managing staff, marketing, and customer insights, and banking tools like Square Checking to get paid instantly. If you're starting a business or running one that deserves better tools, Square helps you sell, manage, and grow without slowing down. Right now, you can get $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/Soder. That's SQUARE.com/go/Soder. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today. Do you, here's another great friend thing you would do. You would go with me to Circle K while I would wait on the side and ask dudes to buy me cigarettes. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I would sit with $3 cigarettes.
Why was there a play that I was the disarming guy to ask? Oh, no. Yeah.
That was booze.
No, but I had the fuck it.
Yeah. You had the fuck it thing. Yeah. After the phone call, you were really on your fuck it shit.
Yeah.
And you were like, dude, and these like, legitimately be like a guy like me now walking into Circle K and these two fucking kids would come around the corner and go, hey, mister, can you buy us cigarettes? And whenever they were like, no, we were like, fuck you. We were like mean about it. We weren't like, I'm so sorry. I'm embarrassed. I
was 4'10 in seventh grade and 5'3 by, I think, freshman year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I
like
5'6 freshman year.
No. And I was, like, made me be better friends with girls and people and develop a personality because I was, I was behind the eight ball at that time.
Yeah, but you came into your own in high school. Middle school, we were both goofy as fuck. We were also, like, I was just trying to be the, I was almost annoying. I was just, like, trying to be funny all the time. But Mike was being very funny in a smart way, which I was just out here goofballing.
Well, no, you know, you had more tricks. You always had more, like, you have
the voices.
voice manipulation. Like
manipulation is, like, you know, one way to call it. Like, you manipulate your voice like a true fraud.
No, but which can, I mean, that's way more effective and useful.
Well, that's for prank phone calling, because you know when that came into effect?
Well, it's also for, like, calming your mom down because you go to your go-to, which at the time you'd always have something that would make her laugh.
Yeah.
But
then you remember...
But then, and you had... Yeah, you were...
But when we would go to football camp together, I'd always prank phone call.
Yeah.
A CU football?
Yeah.
CSU 7-on-7 camp?
Yeah.
When we would, like... dude, I was telling someone this story. Do you remember in high school where we went up to Kearney for the football camp? And then on the way back, the bus air conditioning broke. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And we were all like...
Yes.
But then do you remember that I bought novelty porn mags with Jason Garcia and Jaime Garcia? I bought a three...
Which is the only time that you kind of like fully committed to that sect of crew.
Yeah, shout out.
Was for
shout
like...
out to Garcias.
Was for like porn mag...
No, I thought it was, we were in the, we stopped.
Purchase.
We were traveling back from Nebraska. We stopped at like a truck stop and everyone was supposed to pee and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how funny would it be if I bought, and I remember what it was. It was Chubbers. It was a three pack. It was like a Chubber. It was called Chubbers. It was like Elderly Monthly. It was like three really gross magazines that clearly were for like sick motherfuckers. And we were like, we thought it was funny in the truck stop, and I had a fake ID at this point so I could buy cigarettes, and I bought it. By the way, my ID, it was clearly fake, but I bought the porn mags.
Yeah.
We were walking out to like show everybody. We got one on the bus, and then we got busted.
Yeah.
The coach was like, who fucking bought this? And everyone was like, it was Jaime Garcia or Soder. And I was like, It was me. And we all got taken off the bus and yelled at. And then we rode back. But someone kept Chubbers. And I remember, like, you and one other person looking at it and laughing so hard that you were like, why did you buy this? And I was like, I don't know, dude. I thought it was the funniest one to buy.
No.
And I remember getting fucking screamed at it.
No, but it was intentional. It was for the joke, though.
It was all for the joke.
And
it was the funniest thing to buy at that moment.
And it hit.
It hit.
We needed it. There's no AC. It was humid.
We were all going crazy.
We were coming back from a tackle football summer camp?
Which, by the way, was not allowed in our state. We had to go to a different state.
Twice.
They were like, hey, you can't tackle until August. And our coach was
We gonna fool them.
Yeah. Our coach was like, found a loophole. Early July, we're going up to Nebraska. And then we just drove up to this fucking football camp and went full contact in the middle of the summer. Dude, I remember that. Yeah, that was like, I remember that bus breaking down and watching. It was like Lord of the Flies. Yeah. We all went fucking crazy because we were like, it was just a bus in the middle of summer. And it was.
I remember when you ate that dude's ear.
What?
You just ate it.
Just ate it?
Yeah, because we were going crazy.
Oh, yeah. I just went full crazy. It's Lord of the Flies and killed the kid.
Yeah.
That would be funny if that's what they clip from the podcast and they go, did Dan Soder murder another boy in high school?
Another?
You killing boys, bro? Did you just give up that you're killing fucking boys, dude? Yeah, dude. I love that. I love that. I'm going to see you more living in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
This is great. This was like, it was very fun to go to your house and see you be relaxed.
Yeah, it's a it's such a cool, like I said, you have 12 months out of the year you can be outside. So for my 5-year-old daughter, you want to talk about endless entertainment is access to the beach. And
the beach, I'm going to tell you, it was like there was this surreal moment where we're riding to 7-Eleven to get Slurpees because his daughter loves Slurpees because she rules and she's got good taste.
She does.
And so we went to 7-Eleven to get a Slurpee. It was right when I got off the plane. We're just riding. I'm sweating. I'm dressed like this.
I got pretty embarrassed pretty fast. No, because he's being kind to me. Dude got off the plane. I'm like, yo, it just timed up weird, so we're kind of waiting around. So I'm like, we got to go get the Slurpee. You know, I got to stay on the front end of the idea and the excitement of the idea with my daughter and not enter into. So he gets to the house. I'm like, yo, can we go get a Slurpee? Just ride a little ways. And I'm on an e-bike.
So he's just not chilling. He's just like, wee.
He is not.
I'm on a mountain bike.
And I got him gassing uphill. I got him gassing uphill, sweating, rolling his pants.
I haven't done this move with the bike, you know, where you're standing up. Dude, I did that.
But it necessitated the leverage. By the way,
I still got it. I still got that move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he hadn't lost it.
But my legs were going up a hill. My legs were like, no. Yeah. And then, so this is just real ego shit. When you gas out and a 5-year-old is looking at you like, your daughter's on the back of the e-bike like, what happened to him? And I was just like sweating, and I just created a song to make it cool that I was walking my bike.
And it worked.
It worked. It worked. It worked like gangbusters.
And just like in seventh grade, those are the things that I appreciate most.
Yeah.
That was a great trick because she was chanting that for the whole way. She was chanting it when she had to.
I was like, I get off and I walk my bike. And I was like, what is it? She goes, walk my bike. We were jamming, dude. It was great.
You're hiding in plain sight, man.
But it was really funny to like be chilling, having a Slurpee outside of 7-Eleven. Shit we used to do in middle school and be like, damn, and your wife and daughter are with us. Yes. It was just really cool. It was like a moment where you're like, I hope more people get that. To have people in their lives long enough that you get to kind of live a similar experience, but as an adult now. Uh-huh. And where you go like your wife took a picture of me riding a bike and sent it to my Katie. And she was like, you look goofy as hell. She's like, you're so cute, but you look goofy as hell. I was like, I felt goofy as hell. I haven't ridden a bike in forever. My knees are out to the side. I look like a fucking dickhead. But the time of my life. Yeah. The time of my life. Also, the most middle school shit in the world that you don't think about is sweating in jeans.
Right.
You used to be so cool just sweating in jeans. Yeah. And now as an adult, you're like, oh, I got to go home and change. I got to put on my athletic gear.
Yeah, you're usually not surprised. You don't get the surprise sweats in jeans.
Yeah, and I hadn't sweat in jeans in a fucking long time.
Except for volleyball on the beach.
That's only when I'm playing volleyball with the boys. Playing with the boys.
No, it was cool, and I think it's equally, you're recognizing, it was... What was wild is the whole living circumstance and all the things it offered family was like equal as awesome to a whole the whole another component of like the being able to coach and affect players.
Hell yeah.
And the opportunity with in LA with the Chargers. Like, Harbaugh is the coolest dude ever.
Dude, it's but what's crazy is, do you remember the old magnets you used to have in your room that mm-hmm. were the NFL standings?
Yeah.
And you would like change them all the time?
Yep.
Like, people don't understand. Like, when you're talking about you, when you're at the Hollywood Bowl and you're like, oh, I saw this. Dude, I remember you when we were in like seventh or eighth grade. This is what I was telling Christian McCaffrey, that when you used to work for the Broncos, you would get media guides. Remember that? How you always had the stack of media guides yeah. in your closet? And this dude would just read the media guide.
No, so I just
but
never...
you don't understand the depth of knowledge of what that is. You're looking at, like, not only pass attempts and completions, you're looking at, like, third down on, like, a certain season, the like, all this stuff that you used to just go through. And I remember sitting there watching Jim Harbaugh on the Colts
mm-hmm.
after the Bears when he was mm-hmm. Captain Comeback mm-hmm. for the Colts. And we're just sitting there watching it in your living room downstairs with Gary's subwoofer that he was very proud of.
Super proud.
He was super proud of his subwoofer. Yeah. He would always be like, that's a subwoofer. And you're like, his stepdad. And you'd be like, all right, Gary. And he'd be like, because he had his stepdad's name was Gary. Mm-hmm. Everyone was named Gary in the 50s.
No, so when we, 40s and 50s. Once we got to two Garys, we were like, dude, you know what? Let's just cut this rat race and marry a Katie.
Let's both marry. That's crazy. I didn't even think of that. We were both married Katies. That is crazy, dude. Never. And by the way, your wife says this all the time. Never met a Katie I didn't like.
I mean, one name abbreviated in two letters.
Come
it's
on,
not to like.
Come on, KT. Easy to spell. But dude, I remember like, but I remember like watching those games. Yeah. I remember the. The thing I always remember is, because I slept at your house pretty much every weekend of 8th grade and 9th grade, and I remember you had a TV in your room, huge.
Sick.
You had a bathroom in your room,
yeah,
crazier. And I remember, like, we'd watch SNL late at night on mm-hmm. Saturdays, and then we'd wake up and watch NFL primetime with Berman and Tom Jackson
yep.
at, like, 8 a.m. Colorado yeah. time.
No, so like...
Because games started at 10 a.m. Colorado.
Quite literally, we are
42 and 3
year olds.
Yeah, 43.
That have the same interests as we did.
Yeah.
In 7th grade.
Yeah.
Sorry, you go some comedy and then you wake up and...
And then go do football.
Yeah.
It's exactly what happened last night. You're at the show, then you wake up this morning, go to practice.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because... That's why I love, obviously, Jim Harbaugh, to me, as a 49er fan. I super into Harbaugh when he took over the Niners, and I loved the khakis and mm-hmm. everything about it. Get us to the Super Bowl. He goes to Michigan, comes back, and then now you're coaching for him. And I loved when I was just like, dude, is he the man? You're like, he's the man.
Well, yeah, and like it's also man. Like you want to always feel like you're progressing and
sure.
getting better, and you realize as you go, you're is. Good as those who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
And, yo, check Coach Harbaugh's win-loss record.
It's crazy. Look, at Stanford? You know what? I'll go all the way back. San Diego State into Stanford,
yeah.
into the Niners, and, into Michigan, into the Chargers.
Yeah, and it's cool to, you know, one thing that is super obvious is he's very adept at identifying – you know, the components, players, and coaches to create a team.
Yeah.
But he's also just, like, flexed to me of sheer and utter complete security in himself and so much genuine, authentic.
Yeah.
He is who he is.
Just, that's why people are like...
Yeah.
Like, I remember that interview he did where he was, like, talking about... he would just go pitch against the wall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, I love that. Yeah. I also like a guy that doesn't shy away from saying he drinks milk.
Right.
Milk is the best.
Yes.
Milk rules.
And like
even
by percentage, by percentage, he's falling on the sword because there's too much milk in the game.
Sure.
There's too many people drinking the amount of milk at the... As much as he likes it, why is he the only one
why is, exactly.
pushing it?
You know what's funny? Is when I used to be on the Bonfire, Jay would always make fun of me because I used to go over to his house in Queens and his ex-wife would cook dinner and I'd be like, oh, can I get a glass of milk?
Yeah, was like, I was clowning you for the cold glass of milk back in 95, bro.
I promise you. I've been about that life. But no, you know who was the first one?
But
you know who
was the first assessed, like, I like it more than I give a shit about taking the shit, so I'll just ride the shit out. Dude, I'm drinking this milk.
I fucking love milk. Yeah. And the first person, and I swear to God, the first person that stood up and pushed back about it was Shane. We had Shane on the bonfire, and Big J was like, Shane, Soder loves milk. And then I remember, you could find it. Shane goes, milk rules, dude. And you watch Jay go, you don't like it. And Shane was like, very Shane, like, milk rules, dude. You don't understand milk rules. And it does. I fucking love milk.
No, he loves milk enough to know all the things.
That's why me and Harbaugh, dude.
No, but you know,
warrior handshake.
You're an expert enough to know all the things not to do after drinking milk.
Yeah. Because you don't run
the hard way.
God, you don't run.
No.
If lay down if you must.
Yeah. You don't do the worm.
Don't do the worm or that's gonna come out. No. Yeah, there really is stuff and what you can and cannot mix it with. Honestly, Thai food I would not mix milk with.
Really?
Or Chinese food.
Ah.
But Italian food often poo-pooed. And you will poo-poo.
Oh yeah.
Italian food you can get away with it.
Yeah.
I like a lasagna with a glass of milk. I'll see you in the comments section. And, you know, I don't know, you fucking catch me outside, dude. I love milk.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And
stand
honestly,
on business, bro.
If I ever do get to meet the great Jim Harbaugh, I will up milk.
You will. He'll be excited to meet you.
And I'll go 2% or bust. I'll go whole. I'll go whole all day.
Dude, you know.
I won't go raw or skim, but I'll go 2% or whole.
That's a bone structure that's whole all day.
Dude, like Wolverine, bro. I am animanium.
Man.
Do you remember when I broke my shoulder freshman year of football?
I do.
And then got on Percocets.
And then I remember you in a sling being kind of fussy.
Yeah, dude, I was a little bitchy. Because also, I was working my way through a Percocet addiction.
Right.
Because they gave me all these Percocets, and I was like, oh,
no,
pre-awareness.
They were just like, whatever.
Dude, they were like, oh, hey, also, we didn't really know this at the time in the late 90s, but you can basically map out if both sides of your family have an addiction problem.
But we didn't know anybody that had, had Percocet, nor did we ever have it. So when you took it, I remember you going like, dude.
It was for real.
These are awesome.
Yeah. It was.
But like, I can't like spare any. You know? Yeah.
And dude, I remember I'd do a thing where like, I broke my shoulder and I was like, and they were like, Coach Barker was like, hey, all right, so you're going to come to practice every day? And I was like, for sure. And I'd like show up at practice and stuff in my sling. And then it just slowly, as I kept munching perks, I'd be like, ooh, you know, Ryan's house is pretty close and I can smoke cigarettes there on perks. And that's better than watching practice. And then if I give him a perk, he'll give me a pack of cigarettes. And it was, and then, so that's when I got fussy. Was when I stopped the Percocets. Because I also ran out.
We didn't know that was withdrawals.
Yes. We didn't know that was a thing called withdrawals. But also, it sucked because like I couldn't use my arm for like 4 months of the school year. And that was freshman year. Everyone was fingering.
Yeah.
Except me.
That's the only reason you weren't.
Yeah, there's a lot more reasons. I couldn't get girls.
No, but it gave us an opportunity to develop personality. We really had to stand out for people to acknowledge our existence.
So something that I honestly said out loud for the first time talking to Christian yesterday, which never crossed my mind because I love all our friends we graduated high school with and I love everything. We really missed an opportunity to move to Grandview and be the first graduating class. Because like, if you think about it now as adults, we could have taken our whole crew of friends and gone over there and been the first seniors at that high school. Because I think about when we were in high school and that, so another high school opened, a new high school opened when we were sophomores and they were like, oh, you guys can transfer to this high school, which is like a little farther away.
Yeah. But
it was brand new and it was like all
right. But we were kind of leaning into like, you know, we're not just your everyday suburban. We've got a little edge to us.
True. So we did like the little grime.
Yeah.
We did like the grime. We did like a little bit of the, we didn't, but I, out loud, I was kind of like, damn, we really did try to go to all their parties.
No, I
just
mean,
on the weekends, we'd be like, is there a party going on over there? Now, and they're like, leave us alone, you fucking dirtbags.
I mean, in hindsight, as an adult, if we were motivated from an educational, you know, standpoint, it's probably the best move too.
Yeah.
You know, the most resources and
newer resources, and also probably, I mean, I don't know, our high school had international baccalaureate.
Yeah, it did. I took a class senior year. We had a bunch of people that, I mean, that's a weird deal.
Yeah, because there were like foreign exchange students.
Yeah.
We had a giant high school. Yeah. Our high school was like...
graduated 700 or something.
Yeah, 779 kids were in our graduating class.
Yeah.
And it was like, our freshman and sophomore year, our high school was over 3,000 kids, which is like fucking big.
Well, it's hitting numbers.
Dude, I remember walking to freshman football with you. It was before I broke my shoulder, so I knew something was coming.
And I was 5'3".
You were 5'3". I want to say I was like 5'10".
You were?
I was about 5'10", skinny as a rail. But do you remember walking to
the neck roll?
Neck roll, baby. Had to make it look like I was bigger. Do you remember walking to two-a-days freshman year?
And I was as like, it was, it just looked like you were shrugging all the time.
But I remember walking the two-a-days with you on the first day of hitting, being like on that path that we were talking about.
That was not, it's not cool.
We were walking
to be on the front side of puberty in the post-pubescent game.
I couldn't say that better myself. Freshman football, and there's other men that'll agree with you that were on the wrong side of it like we were. If you're not one of these guys that hits puberty until you're 15 or 16, freshman football is a fucking nightmare, because there's guys like Garape who showed up a man freshman year. He's one of my, he's still one of my best friends.
No, he just fast tracked, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
do you remember showing up though and he was doing, he was repping 225 and we were like, what the fuck is this? Me and Mike looked like little boys, and we were like, what is... we had long hair. We had bob cuts that were like long hair. We were like, what is this? And Garrett is like, ah, just fucking racking 225. I remember. But Kurt Dooley, who, by the way, I had lunch with, he lives in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
He says, what's up?
Sup?
What's up, Kurt Dooley?
Man.
He was another guy that was like a full-grown dude.
Right.
Like freshman year. He was like a full, he had like veins in his arms. He had like biceps with veins in him. And Mike and I were straight up little boys.
Yep.
And we walked, I spent the night at his house during two-a-days, where you do two football practices in a day. And like on the third day of two-a-days, full contact, we were doing hitting drills. And I remember Mike and I walking from your house, which was walking distance to the high school.
It was a stressful situation.
It was like, dude, I remember how it smelled, the dew. It was like early in the morning. And I remember expressing the fear I had to Mike as we were walking to school, where I was like, we're going to get fucking killed. We had to go against like Marcus Sias. And like Kurt Dooley and fucking Dan, who are like all men. And we're like, fuck. And I remember that. I remember being frozen with that fear of being like, fuck.
Yep.
And then it sucked. I tried to call out Capstick. That was a bad move. I went for his ankles. And then Garape knocked the shit out of me.
No, I we were surviving it for better times.
Yeah.
We were crushing the opportunity to develop personality.
That is exact. You know what's funny?
It was a gigantic opportunity.
I know.
You're going to earn everything.
You are.
Yeah.
I would absolutely agree
that
was the common thread for us from seventh grade.
Oh, yeah.
To late junior year.
Yeah. And so.
Like late junior year.
And so at that point in your life, that amount of time is such a substantial portion of your existence.
Exactly.
It is.
Feels like it's never going to end.
It's the end all. That's.
Yeah. We literally got the opportunity to find out who we were or what our personalities were in a situation. And I think that's what a lot of teenagers go through. But I feel like sometimes teenagers don't have, I think what's the importance is like our friendship was never about like provide, it wasn't about being cool. It was just like, oh, we're both kind of were in that situation.
Yeah.
And it was comfortable.
No, we really liked being around each other.
Yeah.
And we really liked funny stuff.
Being goofy.
And like, and then we had like circumstance.
Yeah.
And we had to do something with our time.
So not all of it positive.
But we actually, you probably don't, you know, I guess succeed going through the city of New York.
Sure.
Had you not been combing the streets
of Aurora.
A-Town.
A-Town down. Yeah, dude. Yeah. And I really do think there was like, you know, I think a lot of it.
Because we had to like not really get in trouble.
Sure.
We had to not get captured.
Not get captured?
Yep.
Not change for the worst. Not sour. There was always this like, undying positivity in the face of shit, in like of like bad shit happening. There was this kind of like goofiness, that this like foolishness that carried us through.
Yeah,
because I remember you were fucking really good at football. You were just undersized.
Yeah,
it was just not like.
Give me a minute. I got to like my height of 5'9" at my junior year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Junior year. But then what was impressive about you is you're just like pure commitment to the game of football, of like learning every step of the way, whether it be Spartan football, AYL, you know what I mean? Then you move on to Smoky Hill, but then you're also ball boying and you're like watching all this crazy shit happen with the Broncos. They win their two Super Bowls while you're a fucking ball boy.
Because of my ball distribution.
All about ball.
Correlation, causation.
Dude.
You tell me.
Am I misremembering? I've told this story before, but I don't want to misremember it. It's a story you told me about when you were ball boying. John Elway's last game at Mile High Stadium, 1998 AFC Championship game against the Jets. You were ball boying, and you told me the Mr. Pibb story. About when Elway chugged a Mr. Pibb at halftime.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was the coolest shit in the world.
No.
Because like when you're friends with the ball boy of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a Broncos fan. I was a 49ers fan. He would tell me John Elway stories that you're like, that's the coolest shit in the world.
No, it was, I was like, after the final Super Bowl against Atlanta, when he like, the night of the game, or he finished the night, he was at some table talking to some people that I was too young to know, but I was like in the rafters, basically.
Sure.
Just watching him watch on a big screen his final, you know, his final game on the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty much kind of like you've committed to your passion of comedy, I've committed a vast majority of my life to the game of football.
I mean, dude, it's been since, you know, what's crazy is like, I remember starting stand up in Tucson in 2004. Right. And then we both graduate college in 2005. Chad moves down to Tucson, and Chad and I are living there, 'cause he was punting still after UNC.
Yeah.
He was like, wanted to stay in a warm place where he could like practice kicks. And I remember you were interning with the Broncos, the 2005 season.
Yep.
That was the season they lost to the Steelers in the AFC Championship game. And then Kubiak brought you to Houston. And it was like, we're off and running. Like, I'm emceeing at Laughs in Tucson. And then you're calling us on. I remember being in Chad's truck, that big gray truck he had. And you were like, do you want to know who we're going to draft? And it was the Reggie Bush, Vince Young, Matt Leinart year.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler. And I was like, who are you taking? And you were like, we're going to take a defensive end. We're taking Mario Williams. And I remember Chad and I were in the truck.
Yeah.
And we were like, who the fuck? And you were like, it was just crazy to watch your coach brain then. Because you go, well, we're in the AFC South with Peyton Manning. So you need pressure on Peyton Manning. That's what Kubiak believes. And I was like, fuck yeah. And now what's crazy is Kubiak's kids are coaching against you. You know, like, you're going to play Kubiak's son twice this season.
Yeah, I have like a direct, strong relationship with every offensive play caller west of Arizona.
That's crazy. That's
Vegas?
It's fucking crazy to me. Because to me, it's like football to us is going to the Rick Neuheisel camp in 1995. Mm-hmm. And we're excited we get to meet Rashawn Salaam, RIP.
Yeah.
Or Michael Westbrook,
yeah.
who like comes and plays 7v7 with all the campers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing, this is crazy, but I was doing press for something, for like a show in Houston, right? And I get on this morning talk show and I'm talking to one of the guys and he's former Houston Texan linebacker, Ted Johnson, who played for the Patriots. And I was like, you went to CU. I'm on the phone with him. I'm like doing the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I did go to CU. And I was like, you were a coach at Rick Neuheisel's football camp. And he was like, yeah, we had to be coaches.
Yeah.
We were like on the team.
You don't remember me? You didn't pay attention to me.
That's what I said. I go, dude, I was one of your linebackers.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, you weren't. And I was like, yeah, dude, you were our linebacker coach at that camp. And I go, do you know who else was at that camp? And it was right when you took Miami job. I go, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniel. And to me, that's what's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're just at a football camp stealing Oreos from the lunch place to take back to the dorms.
Yeah.
That's like all we were concerned about.
We knew how to scavenge.
We knew how to scavenge. And again, kids, what's the lesson? Don't get caught.
It always it's not illegal if you don't get caught.
But we would. But it's like, to me, that's always, to me, that's like what football is for us. It's like this summer camp where it's fun as hell. Yeah. We're staying in Boulder for 4 days. Yeah. And then we go back home to fucking the birds.
Well, I went to your work yesterday.
Yeah.
And what was that for me?
As probably the garage.
I mean, to watch.
But it goes back to the garage of just getting like.
But it's all, but it's also means like I appreciate and I remember all like not only your performances, but then your self-critique of your performances over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And I know that you're working at it and to see the, you know, what you'd expect in terms of results from how much you've put in and watch it come to life. It's like, it, you know, every time you're always improving with in some way, shape or form to like give to be with the audience and make it like the garage.
Exactly.
Cause like,
it's always when it comes back to you, just the thing that you're the most
thousands of people at the same time.
Yeah.
You know,
but it really comes back to like that moment where you're like, oh, this is just what it is.
Yeah.
It's just a heightened version of this thing.
That's it's just a social orgy.
Yeah. It's a social orgy. Stand up is a social orgy.
And you got to be a generous lover, bro.
Yeah, brother.
You know?
It's a key party.
Yeah.
And everyone's invited. Oh,
but you got a lot of work to do. You're really doing all the work.
You got to do all the work. But you know what was really fun last night was, you know, shout out to Shane for having us at
amazing
me on the show. Him, I mean, he's the best. But it was really cool, and what I loved watching your coach brain watch was watching him run his Kevin Hart roast jokes, because like almost running them like a play, and you were loving them. But the coolest part was Mike Lawrence, who's one of the writers for Shane, was backstage with us, and I've known Mike for 20 years.
Yeah,
and I got to tell, I got this to introduce my, McDaniel
this,
to
this
Mike
is when
Lawrence.
My brain was leaking.
Yeah,
but it was like, what is?
But I was like, that's the guy that wrote the joke.
Well,
and
then
to watch him go.
Then
like,
I'm watching him do his art, and he's like, no, I'm really gonna make sure these jokes crush because I'm gonna do them and pay a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And like all the nuances to the art of like, stand up comedy
watching
is
Mike,
so cool.
Yeah, watching Mike Lawrence like watch the jokes that he wrote and him like telling me how Shane made it better. Or like what he did to the joke to like, but that was very fun to have you, because you know you and Nick were back there, and I was like, oh, you gotta listen to this, and that's why I was telling Mike Lawrence, I was like, hey, this is my buddy, he's, you know, this is like one of my, I didn't tell him what you do, but I was just like, he's fascinated with joke writing, and Mike Lawrence was like, I'll tell you about my joke. You know, like yeah. I wrote this joke and this joke. And it was fucking, and just in my life, it was cool to put you and Mike Lawrence together and go like, hey, this guy is a fucking world-class play caller and designs plays, and this guy is one of the best joke writers in the game.
Yeah.
So it's like fun to introduce you to a person that doesn't do the same thing you do, but there are parallels in what you do.
Yeah,
you're both autistic on a certain level.
Have to be.
Have to be. Have to be to call play.
What are you willing to do for success?
Give up social for grace.
Taste of tiz, you know?
Taste of the tiz to get to the top. Taste of the tiz to get to the top. And don't get caught. Dude, I told my mom, I was doing the podcast, and I was like, I don't know if I want you to watch this because I might admit stuff. But honestly, it's just like one of the coolest moments of our lives was, and I'll never forget this, because, you know, you're a coach in the NFL and you go Houston, you coach in Sacramento with Dennis Green, and then you jump and you go to Washington, then Cleveland, Atlanta. So I'm always like bouncing with you to all these teams.
Dude, every single team. You have a fourth of the National Football League.
Yeah.
Excess brand and team wear.
Yeah, teamwork. Access.
You've wrote every stuff.
Every city. But then the coolest shit was you texted me and you were like, bro, I'm a 49er. When Kyle and you went from Atlanta to San Francisco.
I was very excited to send that text.
I still have it. I have a screen grab. It's in my phone.
I knew it was going to be. I knew in classic only child, you know, dreamland.
Yeah.
The world is revolving around me.
It's happening. But this thing that
you said, be patient,
and I did. You said be patient. But back in the day when I'd stay at your house all the time, you know, you're a Broncos house. Gary worked for the Broncos. You were a ball boy. Mm-hmm. Your mom was all in on the orange and blue. And your mom always used to tease me when I would stay at your house because I'd wear 49er stuff.
Yeah.
She would always go, you're wearing the wrong colors.
Yeah.
Not, but in like a fun way. Yeah. Not in like a mean way. Like, you know, around here we wear orange and blue and I'm in my 49er stuff. Loved it. Whatever. So Mike's in the NFL. You know, I see your mom in other places. But then I remember specifically, it was the Thanksgiving game of the first season you guys were in San Francisco. Jimmy G. It's when Beathard got injured. Mm-hmm. And you put in Jimmy G. It was that game. But I show up. That was the first home game I got to go to with you on the staff of the 49ers. And I remember I showed up and I saw your mom and she was wearing 49ers stuff. And the first thing she said to me is she goes, I'm finally wearing the right colors. And I was like, callback, Donna. That's a hell of a callback. That was like a 30-year callback that she fucking nailed. And I was like, let's go, Niners. It was awesome. And now it's bolt up.
Mm-hmm.
I like learning the new sayings when I go to when he goes to a different team. I learn.
Yeah.
But I'm happy, and I said this on part of my take, but it's true. I'm happy to be reunited with the Harbaugh family phrase.
Right.
Who's got it better than us? Nobody.
No. I told Coach Harbaugh about that, like within the first hour, because
really?
it was such a memory of that. I think I think, Dan, we were still drinking at the
time.
Yes,
we were, and I had just done Conan, and I was in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and it was just like, it was Packers.
Packers, 49ers. Niners, that was the game where Colin Kaepernick went off
for
like 268 rushing and like three, or under three throwing.
Yeah.
Set a record, playoff record.
And the whole street knew that saying.
Because I was
and you were on the front. You were on the front end of it.
I was very
just
drunk.
Screaming it.
And I'm going to tell you what happened also.
What had happened?
Because I was with a buddy of ours that went to Smoky Hill. He lived in D.C., R.I.P. Luke. He passed away. But we were drinking during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy came into the bar and was selling NFL jerseys. And I bought a Vernon Davis 49ers jersey. And that night at the show, I had it under my shirt and the 49ers won and I ripped it. And I was like, who's got it on stage, dude? Like after my act, I was like, who's got it better than us? Nobody.
Yep.
And I was screaming that out, dude. That ruled. Yeah. Most hungover train ride I've ever had in my life was after that game. After we hung out that night, I took a train back to New York City and I was fucking really hungover.
Oh, That's
terrible. Now we don't drink, and now we can wake up early.
Yeah.
And now we enjoy candy. You know what's very funny?
Yes.
When I saw you at Topgolf when you were at Atlanta and you had quit drinking, I think I was maybe 2 years sober at that time of quitting drinking. What's crazy is what brought us back to our middle school friendship. When you quit drinking, you love candy.
Yep.
You just love candy.
No, and you
and immediately we're back to both of us being
same.
Oh, drug. You like candy? Yeah. Dude, it's fucking crazy.
Have you tried this new candy?
Yeah, dude. It really became instantly like, yo, what candy are you eating?
Are you on that high chew stuff? I got it.
You were putting me on, you're the one that put me on the high chews.
Of course I did.
Holy shit, I forgot. I'm sorry to all the exes I dated when I was, and by the way, Katie was the one that got me off high chews.
No.
She's like, you eat this shit at a crazy rate. But you had them at Yale.
Yeah, but have you hit the caramel high chews?
Yes. The ones with the caramel in the middle?
No, just it's caramel flavor. It's just commitment to caramel. It's like, think soft Werther's original.
Because that's what I was doing, was the Werther original caramel apples.
Grandpa.
Which are, dude, I don't care though. I'm sorry. I'm starting to love hard candies. I'm starting to get real into love. And by the way, I know you're a jelly bean guy.
Yeah.
We could go. We could turn this into a 3-hour podcast and we'll talk jelly beans. Because
what do you know about jelly beans,
brother? You just missed jelly. You just missed bean season.
Bean fest.
Bean fest. Bean feast is Easter. I want a bean feast. Can we get that from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? I'm gonna have a bean feast. They do.
I'll see why not.
Skittles does a jelly bean during Easter.
Which is,
not only do they...
The kids are so lucky these days.
Welch's does Jolly Rancher jelly beans.
Huh?
Try them out.
What?
Jolly Rancher jelly beans.
No, those are two different things. Damn.
Welcome to the post... Welcome to 2026, man. We're in the future. We don't have flying cars, but we got Jolly Rancher jelly beans. That would be us coming to the future, going back... Like crashing one of our the sleepovers in seventh grade and being like, hey, we're old you. We're old Mike and Dan. They go, what's 2026 like?
Only information given.
He's an NFL coach and I'm a stand-up comedian. Are there flying cars? No. But there are Jolly Rancher jelly beans.
No, I mean.
Dude, bean feast.
Quite honestly, don't hold it against us. No one knows what the future is going to bring, dude. Back to the Future didn't even know cell phones were going to exist.
What a miss. What an absolute miss.
85.
Do you think someone's throwing something? And by the way, cell phones kind of were around in 85. I just don't think they thought they were going to catch on.
Wow.
Remember car phones?
They didn't see this coming.
Your mom had a car phone.
She did.
In the Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Yep.
When she worked at JCPenney.
Yep.
And I remember watching you make a call out of that. I was like, what is this science shit you're
doing? No, it's very good for calls to and from home to destination.
Great.
It's specific to that. No more.
That's it.
Yeah.
But honestly.
It stays in the car.
If I'm rebooking the only time you got caught, we should have done the voicemail from your mom's car phone. Then we would have been untouchable. Then they would have been like, this is an unreachable number. What is this, a phone in a car?
Yeah.
And we would have been.
But then at that point, what boundaries would have held us?
Then we would have been lost to the nothingness of a boundaryless life.
Turn the page, we're seniors wearing capes and shit.
Yeah. Dude, I've been waiting to have you on this podcast forever. I love you
I'm
so
honored,
much.
Man. I'm honored.
It's like, I truly felt like some people didn't believe I was friends with you because the way that I talk about it. And they're like, I don't think this guy actually knows my
Prove it.
Sorry for when I get loud, when I get mad at people talking shit about you, but I'm always going to do that. And most importantly, shout out to Chad for being the third member of the trifecta, who we love. Your big, strong legs. And good luck this season.
He educated himself kicking.
For real.
Yeah.
He got an education for kicking
the
shit out of a ball.
That's a hustle.
Good luck this season.
Appreciate it.
Can I still get that Marion Butts jersey?
Yeah.
Number 36.
Hold the Marion.